Welcome to the Runners Roundtable Podcast. Season 4 is conversations with runners, and each episode features a conversation with an inspiring female runner who is making the running community better in her own way. In this episode, I'm talking to Monica Gamble about chasing big goals at this year's 155-mile Namib race, and how her Just Do It mentality has helped her go from a sprinter to an ultra marathoner. Enjoy this episode, and thanks for listening. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Runners Roundtable, where in season 4, I'm talking to inspiring women who are changing our understanding of running and who are reclaiming running. And I think hopefully that's a word that kind of comes up in this conversation as I am talking to Monica Gamble today. And I don't want to share much about you because I want to hear it from you and the incredible thing that you are going to be doing later this year. And I'm just so, I guess what I will share is that I'm already inspired by you and just, I think part of what I love about running and this sport so much is how we discover ourselves on the run and how the longer we run, the more we discover about ourselves. And for me in particular, when I see other women running really long or going after very big goals, all of a sudden, what I thought was impossible is very much so possible. So I'll kind of leave it like that with you for now. But Monica, can you introduce yourself to us and tell us how you got into running?
Well, I'm Monica, 34 years old. I live in Atlanta. I got into running back when I was in middle school. I was in PE and my PE teacher saw me running and said that I looked like I would be a good candidate to go out for the track team. And so I went home, talked to my parents about that. They said, you know, go for it. And I did. And so ever since then, I was sprinting. I was a sprinter all the way through college. And I transitioned into longer distances after graduating from college because I didn't have like a need to just go out and sprint 100 meters or 400 meters. So I would go out in my neighborhood and just run. And I started increasing the distance. And here I am now.
How was that transition for you? And I think I've always been curious, as a sprinter, what were your longest long runs?
I was a 400 hurdler. So there was some piece of endurance in there that I needed. So my coach, he would send me out sometimes on an hour long run, but it was like so slow. And it was just, it wasn't really like I need to hit this time to, you know, for this period of, you know, time. So the longest like run that I did at a fast pace was probably like a mile at that at that time. So yeah.
Okay, so you go from hurdles and sprinting to a mile as the longest long run. How was that transition for you once you did start going into longer distances for your runs?
I enjoyed it. I had a chance to like really find like that solitude. Like I was able to go into like that runner's high feeling. I never really got that with sprinting. It was just more so like sprinting, of course, is over fairly fast. And the distance I ran was fairly painful within that short period of time. So I never had that runner's high feeling. But running for longer distances, you know, at a slower pace, I transitioned pretty well, I think.
So you're 34 now. And I'm going to assume some math here. I'm going to assume that maybe for the past 10 years of your life, you've been doing these longer distances for running. Would that be?
Well, as of recent is when I transitioned into the ultra running.
Okay.
But for, I would say for the last 10 years, I was doing like 5Ks. So yeah, like that was considered my long distances, 5K.
I love that. I love that because I find that people sometimes they'll be like, oh, it's just a 5K or just this or just that. And it's like, no, if that's what it is for you, let's celebrate that. Let's be happy with you're doing that.
Right.
So again, we're going from college sprinting to 5Ks and to now ultra marathons.
Yes.
How?
The way I do things sometimes is kind of just like spontaneous. Sometimes there's no real rhyme or reason behind like why I transitioned to ultra running. I was watching a YouTube channel, and the guy who was out, who I was watching, Jeff Peltier, he was running this Namib race, and it looked amazing. It looked beautiful. I love a good challenge. And so the longest I'd ever run at that point was, I did run a marathon. And so of course, this one being 155 miles, I didn't think, oh, let me go after a 50 miler. Let me go after a 100 miler. I just said, let me just do this race. And it's 155 miles. And here I am.
So let's go back to this race. And then how did you pronounce it, the name of the race?
The Namib Desert Race. It's with Desert. Racing the Planet.
Okay. So what is this race and when did you decide to do it?
Okay. So this race is a 155 mile, 7 day self-supported race. So you carry all of your own food, your own clothes, you know, everything on your back for the 7 days. They set up camp for you each day. But other than that, you're on your own. I'm sorry, what was the last part of the question?
When did you decide to participate in this race?
I decided back in July or June of last year, yes. And so I've been training ever since then.
And this race is when?
It's April 28th, and it runs through May 5th.
So you saw someone else do this race and you thought, that looks like a challenge I want to do.
Yes.
Okay. Not, I mean, I would see something like that. Me personally, I would see something like that. Be like, you go, you, you, and I will do me. But what was it? What was it about that drew you in, right? Because again, like one of the things I love about this podcast is when I speak to the guests is just pointing out the fact that a lot of other people would see that and think that's not for me, but you saw that and you thought that sounds like an interesting challenge. What was the thought process like for you when you saw that? You just thought, okay, I'm all in, or did you have to sit on it and think about it for a few days? Like, yeah, how?
Yeah. I first saw the episode and it's a multiple day or multiple episode series. So I watched the entire thing and I just thought how cool it was. And I didn't immediately say I'm going to do it, but it was more so like within, I guess, a couple of days of just realizing like, you know, it stayed on my mind. And so I figured, let me look further into this. And then, yeah, I decided to just start training for it. I decided to announce it. So that way I kind of had the accountability to really go for it. So yeah.
So what makes you unique as a participant in this race?
Well, I will be the first African-American woman to compete in this race. And so that adds a level of, I wouldn't say pressure, but I just want to, you know, do well. I want to represent well. I want to, you know, go after it the best I can. But of course, I've never done anything like this before. So I'm just going to go after it, have, you know, good time. Goals to finish. I don't have any placement goals, but of course I want to be as competitive as I can be. So.
How many people usually participate in this event?
I believe the cutoff is 200. But as far as this race, I'm not sure exactly the total amount yet. I have to look into that though.
And even still, 200 is, that's a good amount. So can you walk us through, as far as you know, what is the structure of your days? Like if it's 7 days, are there cutoffs for each day, like certain distances that you have to meet each day?
Yes. So each day starts at 8 a.m. You're able to get up around, I think they start preparing hot water for you by 5 a.m. So you can get up, get your breakfast going, get yourself prepared, and race begins at 8 a.m. They give you a very generous amount of time to finish each day. Each day for the for the first 4 days is 25 miles. Day five is 50 miles. Day six will be a rest day. And then day seven is a 5 mile, just like finish it off by the beach. And so each day kind of follows that same 8 a.m. start time. They give you a generous amount of time to finish. You get into camp, get yourself, you know, recovered the best you can, eat and sleep and get ready for the next day.
So when you say that it is self-supported, what does that mean?
Self-supported for this race means you're carrying all of your own supplies. You're carrying everything that you need. The only thing they provide for you is water every 6 miles. And so you have your bottles and they'll fill those up, but everything else, your calories, your clothes, everything's on your own back.
So how have you been training for this? Because I feel like such a wimp when I have to fill my pockets with gels, right? I was like, for one run, I can't imagine. Obviously, when you start, you're carrying a lot more and you start to kind of shed as it goes through. But we often talk about, and we'll kind of get into that, but I'm first really curious about this, right? Our goal is a big event, we talk about the miles that we have to run to prepare, you know, the testing out different fuel when we go out. But one of the things that it really doesn't come up is how do we carry the things we need for a run? Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to carry stuff that you need for like a half marathon, for a marathon, for a single day event. How have you been preparing to carry everything you need over the course of those 7 days?
Well, I spent a lot of time researching the backpack that would be the most comfortable, the best fit for me. I decided on a Six Moon Designs backpack. And for the first few months, I didn't have all of the gear I was going to use. So I was filling it with just random stuff to make sure it was, you know, at the weight I wanted it to be. I was thinking 20 pounds would be a reasonable. They encouraged 20 to 25 pounds. So I had it with 20 pounds and I would, of course, adjust it according to the day based on, you know, 15 pounds, 20 pounds, 10 pounds, because it will, of course, go down each day when I eat through the food. So I went with that backpack. Now I actually have all of my supplies. And so I have my bag officially packed and it's a little bit too heavy. And so I actually need to begin adjusting my food, thinking about different things so that it packs down a little bit more comfortable. So I have to get all that within the next couple of weeks figured out.
Yeah, you're training your gut in a way that most of us will never have to, right? Like it's one thing to go out for your run and you have to do your gels or your blocks or whatever. But in your case, you actually need to pack meals, right? Like something that's going to sustain you beyond that. So I'm going to ask you a few questions and apologies in advance for anything ignorant that comes out of my mouth. But how are you traveling there? Like, what is it that you plan on taking with you there? And are there things that you have to buy there? Because I'm thinking, this is so silly, but I'm like, oh, I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Like, but I don't know. I'm like, do you travel across the world with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I don't know. So what is that? I guess, and I even think of, I've done a marathon in London and in one in Berlin. And I remember the most stressful thing for me was whether my gels were going to make it through security. Mm-hmm. So thinking of something like this, again, thinking of 7 days, what are you able to take and what is it that you need to get when you're there?
Well, that's a great question. Thankfully, everything that I will be needing, I'll be able to bring with me. I won't have to do any shopping when I get over there. My meals and all of my hydration and nutrition and all of that will be powders or dehydrated meals. I'll be taking some like little home snacks, like fruit roll-ups and stuff like that, that I'm able to easily travel with. But as far as, you know, weight and all of that, I've tried to find stuff that was high calorie, low weight. So just playing around with all of that to make sure it packs down the best I can. And I'm still, they require you to bring 14,000 calories for the week. But most people that I've seen with research, they said 14,000 calories, you're going to be starving. So I tried to bring a little more than that. So we're still working through how I can get about 20,000 calories with the weight down though.
Yeah, so it's going to be self-supported. Does that mean you're going by yourself and doing this entire event by yourself, or are you able to have people there support you along? You know, I'm thinking of like other ultra marathons that we have here where you can have your crew out there to support you. Is that how this is, or are you really like on your own?
Well, I have a friend that's going to be traveling with me, but this is a fully self-supported race. They've already let me know that even though she'll be volunteering, volunteers are not allowed to help or and assist in any way. So she'll be one of the ones who are like, boiling the water, setting up the camp. But if they find out that she's given me a snack or she's, filled me in on any kind of, information that's going on back home, I can be disqualified. So it's fully self-supported.
Okay, I have questions about that too. Okay, again, pardon my ignorance. What is the weather like? And I guess what's the weather like? And what is the terrain that you will be moving through? Because April, end of April, May, I'm being my, I guess Northern Hemisphere self and thinking, oh, that's kind of, well, I'm in Miami, Florida. So for me, I'm like, that's summer. But is that, are we opposite climate?
It is opposite, so it'll be fall. And even though it's fall, it'll still be in the high 90s to 100 in the midday. But in the evenings, it does drop down very cold. So they do require sleeping bags to be rated at like a freezing temperature. So yeah, it's like the both extremes. And as far as the terrain goes, it'll be soft sand, some compact sand, gravel. So yeah, there's a range of things. There'll be, high sand dunes. They're known to have some of the tallest sand dunes in the world. So I'll be traversing over that, the heavy pack. And so, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go back and ask you, what's the history of this race? Like, I guess it's more, how did this race evolve to what it is right now? And if you know of that.
That's a really good question. As far as I know, Racing the Planet has been around for about 20 years, and they have hosted the Namib race. If I'm not mistaken, this will be their, I could be wrong, I think 15th year doing this. I may be off by a few years, but they've been doing this for quite some time, and it evolves. There's multiple races all around the world. They have races in Namibia, Jordan, Mongolia. The one I'm really excited for, if I, continue through, we'll see, is in Antarctica. So yeah, that's they're widespread.
Okay, that's why I'm like, I'm always fascinated not only by the people who do these races, but also the race management and how they decide to offer up these events. And obviously, there's people, I mean, I'm talking to you. So there's people who do want to do these races. So I was just curious in terms of how they even came up with the concept of this race, or even just the concept of having it be a completely self-supported race. And I don't know enough about them to know that, like, okay, that's just kind of their thing. Their thing is they're gonna give you this race experience in these incredible places on earth, but you're gonna be responsible for it. And listening to you talk, it's like, oh yeah, not only do you have to worry about your food, but you also have to worry about your gear. And we're not talking about just your clothing gear, but like your sleeping gear as well. And those are things that they weigh as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the gear that you're going to be taking with you? And then also, how many pairs of shoes are you going to have?
So first, the gear I'm bringing, sleeping bags, sleeping pad. They're requiring that you bring waterproof layer, a warm layer, hats, gloves, all of that. Of course, the utensils to eat your food. There's 35 items on the list that are required. You have to bring, of course, headlamps, head torches, batteries, a knife, all the blister kit they require. Yeah, it's quite a bit of stuff on top of, the food. So that's why my bag is quite heavy right now.
So when you get there, are they checking to make sure you have all these items on their list to make sure that you are prepared for the race?
Yes, that is, they break down every single item in your bag. They check every single thing. So if you don't have what's required, there's a chance that you cannot start.
Yeah. Okay. Let's make sure we have everything that we need. And then nothing. This is, again, it's like another silly question, but are you planning on checking baggage when you travel, or are you going to take everything as carry-on?
The stuff that I will need for the race, I will have as a carry-on because I cannot risk that they'll lose my luggage.
That's
So extra stuff that, you know, I may not need immediately, I'll check, but everything else, backpack, meals, all of that will be on me.
So this is it's a point-to-point course. Is that how it would, like, you're starting in one part of the country and you end in the other, or does it loop at all? Like, how, I'm thinking right now of your baggage, of the baggage that goes, like, where does it end in one spot? Or I guess maybe the better question should be, you leave Atlanta and where are you traveling to first? Are you flying straight to Namibia, or is there other, or are there other stops?
Well, the most cost-effective way of getting to Namibia is to first fly from Atlanta to Cape Town. From Cape Town, then to a small, I guess their airport is called Windhoek. Windhoek is, or I could be pronouncing that wrong, is still about 5 hours from the start of the race. So then I'll have to take a bus from Windhoek to, it's called Swakopmund, and that's where the race begins. And so with that, all of my luggage is, you know, coming with me, and then the race organization will keep the check or the carry-on bags. And so we'll race around with the stuff that we need, and then the race will have, the organizers will have all of our stuff at the finish line.
Okay, so you do start in one place and you end in a different place. So it's...
We'll end in Swakopmund. Like, we start there and end there. I'm not sure if it's the exact same point, but yeah, we have to first travel to get to there, but it is the same point for the race.
Okay. My brain is like, the little hamster in my mind is just trying to, like, understand the logistics of something like this, because it is, it's not, again, I mean, I've traveled for marathons and that feels like that, I'm in a nervous mess when I have to do that. I think when I went to London last year, I had a nightmare that I forgot something, right? Like, the how stressed I was. So I'm trying to just wrap my mind around what you're going to go through, because the stakes are higher, right? If I forget my gels or my gels get taken away from me, it's going to suck, but I can figure something else out. Whereas for you, if something gets taken away, especially if it's one of those 35 items, that can kind of make or break. Do you know if there's anything? I'm assuming that their expectation is that you come fully prepared for the race, right? It's not like there's going to be an expo where they sell shoes and they sell headlamps. Like, they're probably expecting you to come fully prepared, right?
They do expect that, but there are some, I guess, leniencies as far as, like, if you forget this. But I do believe, from what I've heard, that there are penalties. So they do have to give you something, or if you have 14,000 calories, but you're, like, in a deficit and you're, like, deathly ill during the race, then they will provide food for you, but you will have a time penalty or something like that.
Okay.
So there are some ways around certain things.
Yeah, that makes sense, because at the end of the day, they want to provide a safe environment for you. And I'm thinking of, like, what if you take your batteries, but then the batteries get wet, and then there's no batteries for your headlamp. At, you know, of course, they've got to kind of plan it. So there will be, each day's different mileage, but there are water stations every 6 miles, right? Water stations there.
Give or take, yes.
Okay. So how have you been physically preparing for this race up until this point?
I am a very, like, I'm not very regimented. I like things to kind of be free flowing. I do as I feel each day, but I have been working very hard over the last 8 months. So each day is a little bit different, but I do know I need to push my limits, and I'm really beginning to now increase my mileage more and more. But I started off with running just, you know, 20 minutes, hour, and now I'm up to being able to run 35, you know, 35, 40 miles in a day. And so each day just builds and builds. It's done pretty well for me.
So you're basically, your training is, which I talk about it with my athletes, right? Where you're stacking like these long runs, right? So for people who aren't familiar with this, right? Monica's not going to run 155 miles beforehand, right? Like we think of a lot of like, you know, your half marathon or your marathon where you get pretty close to that distance, you know, in some marathon training builds, you might run 22, you know, 20 to 22 miles. You're never going to do that. You're going to do like maybe a, I'm assuming like, you know, a 20 mile day, then a 30 mile day, then maybe you have your 40 mile day, and then maybe you kind of come back down. So can you explain to us, I feel like every question that I have for you is just how. So how have you been managing the intensity of training with living your life?
It just varies day by day. And so some days I'm not able to run that long, so I'll have to try to break it up. If I have something planned, so I might go out for 10 miles in the morning, you know, 5 miles in the evening. So I do have to do that. Work is a little bit flexible, so that's, it makes it a little bit easier for me that I'm able to, I manage, you know, Airbnbs. So I, you know, get in there when I can, with training, but, yeah, I just, I manage it the best I can based on whatever I have for the day.
And you're training yourself for this?
I am. I've been asked, you know, do I want to coach? And I do see the benefit of that. But again, I'm just kind of free flowing. I don't follow too many schedules. And, or for me, when I was in college and running in college, you know, I knew my workouts in advance and it made me feel very nervous. And so I just kind of like waking up and saying, I feel really good today. I'm going to go out for this. And that kind of has worked for me.
Yeah. And I think it makes sense with everything that you're doing in terms of, I lost my thought. Oh, yes, I got it. But this being a self-supported race, right? Like it really is going to be you with you and training in this way, at least me from the outside hearing you speak about it, it's like you're cultivating that trust with yourself, right? Yeah. You're developing that trust of like, I can trust myself to do this. I can trust myself to work with this time, which is going to be something that you're going to have to tap into deeply when you're out there, because it's not like, I guess, what terrain are you running in now?
Now it's pavement. So it's not close at all to sand. So I know there will be a big adjustment. I do try to get out to the beach sometimes. I'm about 4 hours from a beach. So I've only done that about twice, and I have felt the difference, the drastic difference. And so, yeah, that's going to be an adjustment when I get out there.
Yeah, that's why I say it, because, and it's, I posted something about this on my Instagram account today, because I had just been thinking about it so much, about how we, the running alone is one thing, right? Like the moving your body for those 30 miles, it's another thing. It's one thing. And I don't want to take away from that. But there's also an element of having to train your mind to do that, right? So training your mind to run 30 miles on the streets is one thing. And then preparing your mind to do 30 miles on sand, even if it's packed sand, that's a whole different experience. I did that years ago. I did this half marathon and it had a mile and a half or 2 miles on packed sand. And let me tell you, I felt like a lost puppy. I don't even know how else to put it. I was just like, when is this going to end? Like, I just saw just long beach ahead of me. And that just felt like the longest stretch. So how have you been preparing your mind physically? You're doing the training, and from what I'm hearing from you, it's, you are honoring where your body is every day that you wake up, like honoring, like, how am I feeling? And then you're going to go and you're going to do whatever that is. So how have you been training your mind? How have you been working your mind over the past 8 months? And then obviously that training of the mind intensity is going to kind of pick up as we near the race. What has that looked like for you?
Well, yeah, even though I do kind of do as I please each day, I still know that there are going to be days I don't want to do it and or don't want to go out for a run. But that is the part of training my mind to know, like, even though I don't feel like doing this, I'm only hurting myself by not. And so I go out anyway. And then, you know, if I'm struggling through, I really just put myself in the desert, trying to be as hot as I can be, thinking about being hot, thinking about being tired, and just pushing through the best I can. I think I'm pretty good at mentally, like, just kind of getting through things. And so I've already just prepared myself to know that I will go to some very probably dark places, but I'm going to have to, you know, get through those, because quitting for me is really not an option. And so I've already prepared myself to know whatever I go through, I'm going to have to get out of it. And so on hard days, and I'm running, you know, 20 miles in Atlanta with, you know, when I was running throughout the summer, it's, you know, 100 some degrees I have on my pack. And yeah, I just told myself, you know, it's tough, yes, but you're doing this because it's what you want to do. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to run. And so as hard as it is right now, you'll be thankful when you're done with this. And so I look forward to, of course, I'm going to enjoy the experience while I'm in it, but also that the after reward is going to be great as well.
I want to thank you for saying that, because I find, and I'm sure you've seen it, right? I mean, you're an athlete, and I'm sure you've seen it, or you've had people come up to you and ask you, like, how do you do it? How do you find the motivation to do it? And I know for me, I don't even know how I want to put it, but it's very much so, like, the days that I don't want to run, I feel like it's not motivation that gets me to do it. It's that dedication to myself, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, I guess this unspoken promise or this unspoken deal I have with myself that says, you know, you're going to feel better when you're done. Mm-hmm. Maybe while you're doing it, it's going to suck. And you're going to be in your head thinking about how much it sucks. But when you finish, you're going to feel so proud that you did it. So I just want to thank you for saying that, because, again, I find that people, at least in my case, will see that I'm a runner, or that I've run, or that I've run through, in my case, in Miami, Florida, right? Like running through the summer months where it's really hot. Mm-hmm. In Atlanta, I'm sure you get the heat too. And people are often like, how do you do it? And it's like, it's not even a question of how, it's just going to get done. So mm-hmm. Can you maybe, for the person who's listening to this and says, I have trouble staying motivated, what would you say to them?
And like you said, a lot of times, and I've heard this and seen this and known this to be true for myself, motivation is not going to get you to your where you want to be, because there are going to be a lot of days where you don't want to do it. And so it's going to be that discipline and that dedication and you're being goal oriented, that's going to get you through. And so for me, there have been many, many days where I'm not motivated to do this, but I'm disciplined to know that I have an end game. I have a goal that I want to achieve, and that's what gets me through. So that's, I think, to anyone listening who has a goal or who has something they want to achieve, know that on the days that you don't feel motivated, do it anyway, because that builds the discipline. And so it will get easier and you'll get, you know, you'll reach your goal.
Yeah. I know on those days when I don't want to run, which is most of the days, I'll be honest with you, it's most of the days I don't want to run, but I usually tell myself to go out there for 10 minutes. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's either go out there for 10 minutes or go out there for a mile, depending on how tired I am and how not motivated I am. It's mm-hmm. usually that, go out there for 10 minutes. And then at that 10 minute mark, ask yourself, can I keep going or am I going to stop? Mm-hmm. And then I know for me, another trick is just making sure I'm running like away from wherever I'm starting. So instead mm-hmm. of like, cause I know for myself, if I'm running loops, like a little mm-hmm. like loop, if it's a half mile loop, I'll call it quits. But if it's, I go out somewhere for 10 minutes and then it's mm-hmm. going to take me those 10 minutes to run back, something usually happens in those 10 minutes where I'm like, I'm just going to keep on going. Like, it's fine. So yeah. I know that that's like my mental trick of just go out for a mile or go out for those 10 minutes. And if you're done, then you're done. But usually at that point, my brain starts to switch where to that, well, I'm already out here, might as well finish it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've got this big goal. And one of the things that I find inspiring in that it takes vulnerability is that you have a GoFundMe for mm-hmm. this. And the reason I say inspiring because it takes vulnerability, it's because you're, well, I guess, can you explain to us what the GoFundMe is and what that GoFundMe serves?
Yeah. So when I first saw this race, I didn't even fathom that they were this expensive. When I knew it was self-supported, I was thinking like, surely it can't be, you know, that much money. And the race entry alone is $4,600. And so with the race entry being $4,200 for the race entry. And then after that, you know, there's nearly $2,000 worth of flights, hotels, all the accommodations. And so it adds up very quickly. And I said I did not want to allow the price to hinder me from doing it. And so I said, if I create a platform where I'm, you know, sharing my experience and people are getting, you know, any kind of benefit from it or they're enjoying it, you know, if anyone can contribute $5, $10 or whatever, it can help me to, you know, be able to not only do this for myself, but for others to get motivation and inspiration as well. So that's why I have it set to what it is.
Okay, I'm still shocked at how much this event costs and it's self-supported. I'm sorry, because that is one of the things that outside, whenever I do races, that is something that I, not often, but I complain about in terms of, you know, how much races cost. Mm-hmm. And what you get from the race experience, which obviously this is different. This is a totally different scale. We're talking about 155 miles. And I'm going to assume there's got to be a lot of logistical issues that the race creators and directors have to worry about in terms of safety for runners and safety
right.
for volunteers and all of that. But my mind is still blown away that that's how much this experience, like that racing experience costs. And to top it off, you have everything else. But to kind of go back, what I was saying earlier in terms of like the vulnerability, right? Of saying like, hey, not only, oh my God, it's layers of vulnerability, because not only are you saying, hey, this is the goal that I'm chasing, this is what I hope to do, which is really vulnerable to begin with, right? When you put your goal out there and you say, mm-hmm. this is what I'm doing. And then on top of that, there's this layer of, I need you to support me, mm-hmm. or I would like you to support me, or I invite you to support me. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine, or I'm going to assume, was that an easy decision for you to make to say, hey, let me do this GoFundMe?
It did take a lot of thought because, like you said, it is a vulnerable thing to ask people for money. And I sometimes get a little anxious to, you know, put it out there. But then at the end of the day, I realized like I'm not a very egotistical or I don't mind asking for help. I don't mind saying I need help. And so that's made it a little bit easier. But I do see how it would be a difficult thing for some people to just put themselves out there and ask. And I just figured, you know, I put it out there. Most that can be said to me is no, no, and go from there.
Yeah, I'm still shocked by how much the race entry is. I'm still shocked by that. I'm sorry. I am never going to complain about $200 for a marathon ever again. Like, I'm not going to complain about that. But okay, so this is something I've talked about with other people, and I'm going to kind of draw a parallel here and see if it makes sense for you, right? So I've talked to other people about like charity running, right? Where your running is supporting your entry into the race. And in some cases, it is your entry into the race is dependent on that money being fundraised, right? Whereas here, I'm going to assume that in order for you to get registered for this event, you had to pay that race entry mm-hmm. long ago, right? So the money now that is raised through the GoFundMe is truly a sign of support for you. So do you feel any, and again, with going back to kind of that parallel of like charity runners, for those charity runners, oftentimes there is this added element of stress of I have to meet this amount on top of doing my training. So do these two things intersect at all for you? Are you like, nope, my running is here. The GoFundMe is here. This race is going to happen regardless of what happens with the GoFundMe.
Yes. So I am doing the race regardless of the GoFundMe. It would be a huge burden off of me to raise more of the GoFundMe goal. But I do have my entry into the race and I am doing it. And yeah, it's not depending on the GoFundMe, do I do the race? And so by me putting it out there months back, you know, I was hoping it built up a little bit faster, but I did have to, you know, come out of pocket and pay, you know, a little bit more. And thankfully they have been very flexible and have allowed monthly payment plans. And so a lot of people do that. So I'm on a monthly payment arrangement to get this paid. And as far as flights and all of that go, I'm still waiting to get my flight. But I'll be getting that very soon as well.
Yeah. And I think, so there's something to be said about running as a solo sport, right? In many ways, it can feel like a solo sport. And yet its foundation is very much so in community, right? Mm-hmm. Like those group runs, those long runs, when you do it with somebody and it all of a sudden the miles feel so much better, so much easier, mm-hmm. so much more fun. And I find that again, like for me right now, I'm like, oh, you're like a, I don't want to say an onion, but you're kind of like, you know what? You're like a daisy, right? Or like, a daisy where it's like these overlapping petals of mm-hmm. here's on that inner ring is you, but then there's all these other petals of support from community. And mm-hmm. I'm curious, what has your support system looked like over the past few months as you've been training for this race? And what will your support system look like over the next few months and maybe even after the race?
Yeah, so I have joined the Atlanta Run Club. So I do some runs with them throughout the week. As far as support goes, like my family is very supportive. I just have my friend here. So she comes sometimes and drives in the car beside me, or she'll ride on a bike beside me. She's not really a runner, so I don't expect her to go out for 20 mile runs with me, but she, you know, sometimes knows beside me throughout my running. So I've had support in that way. The community has been really, you know, supportive in, you know, with the club runs, and I'm looking forward to, you know, participating in the Atlanta Marathon, where you get all of the support in the city. And so that's, you know, going to be fun. But yeah, I definitely feel the community being a huge part in getting through this training. I, of course, have done a lot of it by myself as far as like the runs, but I still like look forward to even, you know, when I record myself when I'm running, because I'm going to post it to, you know, social media, and that I get the encouragement from the comments. And so it all kind of ties in.
Yeah. I mean, community creates accountability, right? Mm-hmm. Even for those people that they don't know, like you just shared with social media, those people don't even know that they're helping you get through your run, right? Like mm-hmm. I've definitely had runs where I'm like, I said I was going to do this thing, or like races, right? With, mm-hmm. with marathons in particular, where it's like, wait, I said I was going to do this. And all these people have known that I've been training for this. So mm-hmm. there is an element of thinking about those people when I am doing that race of like, okay, I said I was going to do it and now I'm going to do it. And not only that, I'm going to show them that someone like me can do that. So mm-hmm. do you mind speaking to, and if you're comfortable with it, just the importance of representation in the ultra community, or just in running in general, or even in doing something like this? And this is, and I speak to representation, and I will give credit to Carolyn Sue, who I spoke to early on in the season, where we talked about the privilege that it is to be able to do things like this, right? The privilege mm-hmm. to be able to participate in races, the privilege to have the free time to do this thing called running, without feeling guilt, right? Like the guilt of, oh, I should be working, or I should be doing this, or I should be doing that. Like that element of freedom that we have to do that. So can you, again, if you feel comfortable speaking to that, the importance of someone like you going after a goal like this, and how it truly ripples beyond you, because I know it's you doing this, but to see you do it, all of a sudden I'm like, well, maybe I can do something like that too. Or even if there's another African-American woman out there who says, no, but I don't think I can. And they see you and they're like, okay, I'm not going to do that. But maybe I'll go out the door and run around the block.
Yes. And, you know, I've gotten so many comments like that. You know, when I first started posting what I was doing, I got a lot of comments where people were saying, you know, oh, that's so white to do that. It's a white thing to, you know, try to go out for an ultra marathon. And, you know, I just had to make it known that it's not a white thing. It's just, there's not as much representation in this sport. And so it is important for me to show and to post that, you know, although there's not many Black women or African-American women or minority women or whoever, you know, doing this event, it's you're capable of doing it. And so a lot of people have, you know, reached out to me and said, oh, like, I'm not going to go out for an ultra marathon, but, you know, you made me get up off the couch and go out for a 1 mile run today. And I love that. And I think that, you know, me continuing to post, it inspires me to, you know, to see the comments of people saying that, you know, oh, because of you, I'm going out and doing a canoe workout. Like one man told me that he had been on the trying to decide if he was going to do like a canoe challenge. And he said, because of me, you know, putting myself out there, you know, going after something that, you know, was challenging, it gave him the motivation to do it. And he's a Black man. And he said that it's a very heavily white sport to do. And he said that he felt a little bit intimidated to go out for and try that. And he said, because of me, you know, he's signed up for it. And so I love that, you know, I can give a little bit of, I guess, inspiration for people to be able to go out and do whatever it is, despite a stereotypical, I guess, persona of a certain thing.
Yeah. And I think it's also to see you take up space and to have joy while you're doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Like your Instagram account, it's so like, it seems like you're having fun. Right? Like it seems
I am, yes.
Maybe you're not, but you know, like it seems like you're having fun. And I think that oftentimes people need that permission of like, oh wait, I can do this hard thing and I can make it fun, or I can do this and I can show up and take up space, right? Mm-hmm. It's not to what you said, and it's a sentiment that I've heard echoed with other people of like, you know, ultra marathoning and ultra running being too white. And it's like, but why is that? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, why is that? And how do we change that? And obviously there has to be a first, right? Mm-hmm. So there has to be a first. And as you're looking forward to becoming the first, again, thinking of how this experience ripples out from you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm trying to ask, or maybe what I'm curious about, is just how do you think you're going to feel when you finish?
I know I'm going to probably cry. I think it's going to be a huge mix of emotions for me. Finishing the race, every event I've done or every kind of, you know, sporting event, I've had my family there for the most part, very large accomplishments like in college and all of that. I had my family there. So this time I won't have that. So just finishing something so major and so huge, and, you know, my friend, she'll be there. Hopefully she's still deciding if she's going to be able to make it. But just knowing what I've accomplished, I think it'll be just a huge just rush of emotions for me. And I'm going to let myself, you know, sit in it, embrace it, and, you know, it's going to be very special.
How would you say you've changed since deciding to do this event?
Let's see. How have I changed? I would say I've become more disciplined. I haven't had to have this level of discipline since collegiate sports, which was 10 years ago. So just the level of discipline and making myself do things that I don't want to do, such as going out for the runs on cold days, hot days, rainy days. I've changed in that regard. I've changed in my mental strength, I would say. I've gotten extremely strong. I run now for hours upon hours without music. I just enjoy my own company. There are days, of course, where I feel lonely running, but also it's helped me to just embrace my own independence while I'm running and being in my own thoughts. And I've always had people around me. And so when I'm out on those runs by myself, yeah, I've gotten a lot stronger in that.
Yeah, they say, all right, just love the idea of the longer you run, the more time you have to yourself and to embrace change, mm-hmm. right? Because who you are when you started this journey, that's not who you will be when you've crossed that finish line. And you kind of alluded to it, is your hope or expectation that you cross this finish line and it's going to unlock other adventures for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's, you're going from, you know, if we're looking at like this trajectory of your life, like in middle school, you ran and then you were a sprinter and then 5Ks and all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but you know, the path 8 months or so, but you've turned into an ultra runner, right? Like this is who you are becoming. And I'm wondering if there was ever a version of you that thought this version of you today would exist.
No. long distance running was a punishment for me. My coach, he put me in a cross country race just for training. And I just thought he was just the meanest coach in the world. And so never would I ever think that I was voluntarily going out to run 155 miles. So there's definitely been a progression and there's been a lot of change along the way. And I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the constant we have in life, right? Change is going to happen. And I recently read something that was, I found it to be so beautiful, of how we fear change, but what we should do is learn how to love the process of change. And that to me was just such a powerful sentiment, because I'm like, oh, it's so true, right? Like, mm-hmm. and then I went down a rabbit hole of, oh, if it's change that I can control, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. But if it's like life and change I can't control, I'm like, no, stop.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh, if I can just see it all as a process, like this is a natural process of life, of evolving, of growing, of just moving through life, then maybe I can give myself a little more grace as all the change happens. And right. I find that, at least for me personally, there are some runs where I feel like I leave a little bit of my soul out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm just like, I'm never the same. And sometimes it's not good. Like, it's because a run really beat me up. But sometimes it's because like I had to conquer some serious mental demons,
right,
to get through that. And I'm just so amazed. I'm in complete awe of you, because there's, again, the hamsters in my brain are like, how did you decide to want to do this? And every single day, it's a choice that you're making to continue to do that. And yeah, that's why I ask, I'm like, how have you changed? Because you're not the same person you were, and you're not ever going to be that person again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely made some changes. I would say I've grown. And there have been times where I've asked myself, you know, why are you doing this? You do not have to do this. And it just goes back to just realizing it's a privilege. And I do, at the end of the day, find joy in it. Not every day, but for the most part, I find joy. And the person I will become after I cross the finish line, I do know that's going to be a very unique person to share a very special story. And I look forward to that.
Yeah. And I think, again, kind of just going back to you doing this, I'm always fascinated by the women that I encounter who are creating their own path. Right. And in you, and I, one of my favorite words is illuminate. And that's just in speaking to you, it's like that. You are creating your own path. And as you walk that path forward, you illuminate it for the women who come behind you. Right. Or for the women who one day will walk and run alongside of you. So It's not just you doing this thing. It's you recognizing that it is an honor and it is a privilege and it is truly a celebration of what you get to do Because you can do it. Yes. So if there's a woman that's listening to this and they're on the fence about going after a goal that scares them but also excites them, what would you say to them?
I have this tattoo on me and it says, just do it. Just do it. Like, and it's not me saying like a Nike logo or Nike motto. It really is just how I go about things. You just do it. And you know, whatever the outcome is, as long as you try, you can't be disappointed.
Yeah, that is, I would say for myself, that was a big mental shift. Again, this London marathon that I did last year was so pivotal for me in my running life because I went into that training cycle with a just try mentality. And that was every single run, every single workout. It was like, just try, let go of expectation. Don't, for me, bitching and complaining about the weather is just part of my job. Like that's just me. I've come to accept that I will never be someone who does not complain about the weather as much as I really try not to be that person. But when I was training for London, I was like, okay, we're just going to let the weather be what it's going to be. We're going to let the sun do what it's going to do. We're just going to be whatever it is. Because ultimately my goal is to just try. Mm-hmm. And that truly shifted everything for me. Mm-hmm. Everything. So even just, I'm saying just try. And it's that sister phrase to the just do it. Just go out and do it and see. Because the minute we start to overthink it, That's when we start to create barriers in our mind. And sometimes those barriers are expectations, right? Like those unrealistic expectations of how it should look or how it should feel or any of that. And it's like, just do it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that sentiment because again, I feel like oftentimes we can get really caught up in our minds and caught up in the shoulds and coulds and woulds and all of that stuff. So Thank you for sharing that. Okay. I've got three more questions for you.
Okay.
And they're the easiest questions in my opinion, but can you just remind us where can we find you and where can we support you?
I am on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube under Monica Runs. I have a GoFundMe that's linked in my bio of my Instagram and TikTok. And of course, the support is always great to be, you know, followed on those accounts. Subscribe, you know, comment, share. That's always very helpful.
Okay. I know we have this big event to celebrate you in. And I usually ask, what do you have coming up that we can celebrate you in? But I'm going to kind of change that a little bit for you. What is something smaller you have coming up that we can celebrate you in?
I will be running in the Atlanta Marathon coming up on Sunday. That's the only event that I have prior to my Namib race.
Yeah, so you've got big race coming up. You are, I love that this is like 8 months ago you decided to do this and you're like, let's go ultra marathoning. And but I also love that above all else, I feature and highlight women on this podcast because I feel like we have such powerful stories to share. And because if I can do even just a little bit to uplift you and to get more people to know you and know your story and know what you're doing, then for me, that's a great day within the running community, because some of us women, a lot of us women, but some, especially so like yourself, are doing truly incredible things. And for you, it's like, yeah, you're doing the race. Like, I don't want to take away from the fact that you're doing it. But for me, I'm just like, how many women and little girls and just people out there are going to see you do it and think, maybe I can too. And my hope is that truly in those moments, because we know there's going to be some dark moments. We know, like, that's, we're not going to hide from the fact that that's not going to happen.
Right.
But I hope that you, that bit of community is something that does stay with you in those moments of knowing that you do have a community of people who are not only looking at you in admiration, but just truly in awe of, like, oh, snap, she said she was going to do it, and now she's doing it, and she did it. That's amazing. That's just amazing. So
thank you.
Enough with my praise. The final question is, what are your final words for us?
I just have enjoyed being on this podcast and talking about, you know, my upcoming experience and the journey to get me here. Yeah, I just would say, if there's anything that anyone aspires to do, hard, easy, scary, exciting, just go after it.
Yeah, listen, after I'm talking about April 20th to May 5th, don't be surprised if I'm signing up for some fall marathons after May 5th, because I'm going to see you do it, and I'm going to see all this, and I'm going to be like, if she can do that, I can do 26.2, because I am not interested in anything more than that. 26.2, that's my thing. Oh my gosh. Monica, thank you so much.
Thank you. Just for existing.
I'm just going to say that. Just thank you for existing and for going after this goal and showing us all that it is a privilege. It's a privilege to chase big goals. And if it's a privilege to chase big goals, why aren't we doing more of it?
Yeah. So, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
Thank you. All right, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
I'm in awe of Monica and the path she has taken as a runner. I can't wait to follow along as she completes the Namib race, and I am so grateful for how open she has been about chasing the goal of becoming the first African-American woman to complete this race. Imagine all the great things we could do and the amazing goals we would chase if we had more of that just do it and just try mentality. Thank you, Monica, for reminding us that running and racing are privileges that should be explored and celebrated. For more on Monica, give her a follow on Instagram and YouTube at Monica Runs, and support her GoFundMe campaign by searching for Monica Gamble on the GoFundMe website or by clicking the link in the show notes. You can reach out to me on Instagram at The Cookie Runner or through my website at thecookierunner.net. You can also support this podcast with a rating, review, or a share. Until next time, run happy, run strong, and run true to you.